keep dreaming, keep learning, keep growing. I've seen too many, and this isn't even just music, but that is my context. I've seen too many gifted, talented people just quit.
Welcome to the Passion Behind the Arts Show. It's all about diving in with individuals to learn the story behind their passion. It's your host, Daryl Pinner.
It's another week, another amazing guest, and another opportunity for me to bring you value through someone else's story. So without further ado, let's jump into this week's episode.
Well, I'm excited to have Ian Allen, good friend of mine. Super excited to have this dude on the podcast, musician and so much more. Dude, welcome.
Thank you, man. I'm excited. I've been looking forward to this.
Yeah, you've been standing me up endlessly.
I'm just learning how to use technology. I'm kind of behind the curve.
Well, dude, let's jump right into it. How did your musical journey start?
Man, to be honest, I know it goes back to being a kid. I grew up in a very creative family. My dad has worked for himself a lot of his life in just in drawing, painting, graphic design, kind of as that field has morphed, and photography. So he's been very involved in that realm of creative arts, and for whatever reason I didn't get that. I was like drawing stick figures, and he never showed disappointment, but I'm sure as like the first son he was like, why can't you draw? And so at an early age, I really don't remember how old, but I remember he bought me my first guitar, and it was a terrible guitar. It was like heavy, and the neck was too thick for my hands, and my fingers would get calluses, and I was like, why did you do this? I just want to pick up a pencil. And so I kind of dabbled with music in my early years. I always loved music. I've always been like a pencil tapper on the desk, and just it's in me. But I think there was some of that family wrestle too, of like we had conflicting gifts. And so I know I put it down for a while, but I can vividly remember in eighth grade picking it back up. And there was, I think a lot of it was some out of curiosity of like, okay, this thing's been sitting in my room for a long time, I'm going to try it again. But really also in kind of the season that our church was in, there was a need for it. And so I remember some of my friends saying like, hey, we need a guitar player at church. And so I kind of got thrown into, here's the songs, learn them. Oh, I don't know those songs. Like, well, you better know them. And so I kind of forcefully got thrown into it, and it just clicked. And I haven't looked back since. It's hard to believe it's been more than 20 years of playing or singing or leading worship to some capacity. And I've just, it's in my blood. I realized I could never put it down. I could never, I'll be doing it to some extent, I think, for the rest of my life. And so, really just from childhood, man.
Oh, that's awesome. So your father bought you a guitar. Like, what prompted him to do that?
I don't know. That'd be an interesting question to ask him now. Now that I'm a father and you have kids and you want to see, naturally you want them to grasp the things that are important to you. And so I just sense this like side of him of like handing me crayons and that didn't work, and handing me paintings and that didn't work. And so he's like, fine, I'll buy you a guitar. I hope this works. I don't think it was like that, but I just picture that just from a father's mind of like, he's very creative, and I'm sure as a father, he wanted that in me, but also just, he's very connected to the creator. And so I know that he really leaned into, even just the spiritual side of, okay, if he doesn't have the gift of drawing, I know there's something within him. And so just kind of that nurturing, I'm going to find it. And I guess a guitar was the next step on his journey, and it clicked and it worked. And so I'm glad he did that. I'm glad he didn't force me to carry the craft that he had. And I'm also glad that he didn't give up because I didn't have the craft he had.
Right, right. Hey, that's true. I mean, it's like such a funny and a slippery slope with just being a parent and trying to guide your child into their gifts versus having them trying to live through your gifts or whatever you want it to do or stuff right. like that.
Absolutely.
So now, okay, you're in church, you're playing. Where did it go from there? Did you just kind of like stay right there? What did you do next? Like, what was the next step to say, okay, I'm at a different level in this musical journey?
Yeah, like I said, it kind of began out of a season of need, I think. Like, hey, we lack this position or this person, and so we need you to fill it. That's been the story of a lot of my journey. I even just looking back, I see a lot of the opportunities I've taken were out of a void, really. Like, hey, we need this spot. And so within those opportunities, I've been challenged to different levels to grow depending on what the need was, really. So for one season, if it's a need that, I don't know. I mean, if there was a season of like, hey, we need a guitar player, then obviously I'm growing in that craft. But if the season changes and it's like, we need a guitar player and a vocalist, or we need a guitar player. I did percussion for a while, which I don't think is my strength, but in that season, that's what was needed. There were plenty of guitar players. And so I was like, okay, well, I got to go buy a drum and I got to figure out what that looks like. And so I'm thankful for that now, looking back. I'm sure it was frustrating in those seasons of like, I'm not a drummer, I'm a guitar player. Like, let me play my thing. But it really kind of rounded my gifts and my crafts, because it stretched me beyond what I probably would have stayed in if it was up to me. I'm thankful looking back at that now as opportunities arose and I took them. It really stretched the gifts that I had, and I think pulled some gifts out that I didn't know I had.
Interesting. So I knew of you, and we got a chance to really get to know each other when we went on this retreat last year.
Yeah.
So how did your connection, and how I knew of you, was because of Creative Self. You were doing the worship for Creative by Design. How did your connection with Creative Self come together?
So it was, I think this Creative, so we're coming up on Creative South again. I think this will be the fourth year that I have been involved. I'd heard about it through the grapevine. Again, wasn't necessary. It's a bunch of really the creative arts drawing, logo, those, my dad's kind of people. And so it wasn't even a conference that was on my radar that I was looking to be involved with. But through some mutual friends a few years back, they kind of added that Sunday piece of, really in the early stages, it was just a Bible study at a coffee shop. And in leading, I lead a community-wide worship ministry here in Columbus, and had some mutual friends that are also in that Creative South scene. And so I found out about that piece they were doing on Sundays and just kind of asked the question, do you guys do worship at that? And it was like, well, no, we actually haven't thought of that. We kind of open the word and we have fellowship and we dive into the word, but we haven't done song. And so I got invited kind of early on a couple of years ago and didn't know what to expect. Kind of their gatherings were low in numbers and they met like in a lobby of a hotel. And it was like, bring an acoustic and see what happens. And from there, it just really grew. And so through that context, and if you've ever been, or if anybody listening has been a part of that, you just know how at the heart of that conference is fellowship and hugging necks and community. And so it became so much more than come play a few songs. I made friends that you keep in touch with and you're like, okay, well, I'm going to be back. I got to be back next year. And most everybody I talk to, it's not even like, hey, are you coming again? Like, it's a no brainer on everyone's agenda, because not even just the content that you get out of it, just the fact that you get to connect with people. And maybe that's the only time that year you get to connect with them. So it was cool for me, even on this retreat, everybody's sitting around the table talking, dude, have you used this program or this paintbrush or this whatever? And I'm like, have you guys heard of this song? Like, I felt very connected at the heart with these guys, but like at the craft, I didn't have a clue what y'all were talking about.
So basically, the one of the nights where we were just there jamming, that's probably was the best part for you.
That was my time to shine right there.
That was hilarious. But it's crazy how you can't leave that world alone. Somehow that world just keeps drawing you. Have you ever thought about that? Like, what is it? Like, you probably are the David to, as David was to Saul, that's who you are for the creatives.
Yeah, yeah. That's awesome. No, I haven't thought of that. And it was cool that night, like you joke about one of those nights, we had a guitar in the room and started playing, and we did that for a couple of hours. And it was such a unifying piece, because even though there were a bunch of guys in the room that their craft was not music, they knew these songs, and they kind of all wandered into the living room one by one. And we've sat there singing off pitch sometimes, but like for two or three hours. And it was one of those things that we just see continuously in culture, is a unifying piece, that you bring out an instrument in a room or a boombox or something, and people gather together. And so that definitely was my moment of that trip. I was like, yes, something I can contribute.
That is hilarious. That is hilarious. Oh my goodness. So, all right. So let's jump into you a little bit. Like, who would you say like some of your musical heroes?
Oh man. That's so hard to define. I think growing up, and I was talking about this person the other day, and I actually have some friends in this season of life that are musicians in his band, but Michael W. Smith was a huge influence growing up. And I wouldn't say that like I sing like him or play like him or love all of his songs, but he was just kind of, I remember from childhood growing up with that playing in the house or the car, and he's still doing his thing today. And I think I admire that. I think there's a lot of incredible bands out there that have like a 3 to 5 year season, and then you never hear of them again. And this guy has been around forever. And I really see him and Stephen Curtis Chapman and some of these guys that are kind of in the older season of their life now, I really see them playing music until they go to the grave. And I think I resonate with that, in that sense of like, man, music's not just something that I'm going to do while it's popular. It's who I am. Right. And so I think I will never be able to not do that. And so, yeah, those are two guys that I've just followed for decades, not just years, decades. And I don't know if I'd call them my heroes or even my influence, but there's somebody that I think from an early age really sparked something in me that I was like, I could be that. I could do that for the rest of my life.
That's what's up. You know, it's funny you say that. Like, I go back to when we were at the retreat. I was like, you know, what you brought for me was that other side of me.
Yeah.
Because, like, everyone, for the most part, knows me as a designer. And, right. like, that other side was music. For years, I've been involved in music. And I was like, yes, we have someone else here that understands that. You know what I mean? Then it was cool when Andrew joined in, and I was like, yeah, because of his theater background, I was just like, that was pretty cool. So, yeah, it was pretty cool.
Yeah, his interpretive dance was on point. We brought out that other side.
Dude, I'm going to tell you, there's going to be like so much inside jokes at Creative South this year. It's going to be crazy.
I love it. I'm looking forward to it.
All right, so... Well, I mean, like, you make it seem like it's, like, all gravy. Like, what would you say was the hardest part of this journey that you've been on till now?
Oh, man. I think two things, really. So, one personal and one more collective, because I'm a musician, I'm a singer, I play an instrument, I lead worship, but I'm also a worshiper kind of in my own life. But also just being in corporate ministry, where you're training and developing other people and you're kind of creating culture and impact in a society. I'll start with kind of corporately first. I think a challenge in that has been consistent community. So people love, I mean, we have these conversations and we love this retreat and we love get togethers and gatherings and times when we can get around one another, whether it's watching football or music or art, whatever the common ground is, we love that. But our society has become so busy that those moments have become more and more rare. And so as a person who's trying to create culture and community and do that type of thing more. It's been really hard to, people will tell you all day long, like, man, I want that. But then our schedules don't show that we want that. And that's personal too. That's within me. And then to kind of shift that to obstacles and difficulties that I've had personally is really challenging myself to dream more and go beyond. Like there's plenty of times I feel like I've kind of hit a plateau or I've hit my own ceiling of, I watch phenomenal guitar players or vocalists or whatever that looks like. And I feel like I'm so far down on the level of creativity. And I think that's my own fault in the sense of I don't carve out enough time to not just dream, but practice and become better at what I do. Mm. I've learned enough to kind of get by. And so that's a deficiency of my own that I wish I would just take more time to develop the gift, develop the craft, but also dream more and be like, what do I want to be doing in 10 years? How do I want to be using this to build relationships and cultivate other leaders and dreamers and creatives and things like that? And so I think my frustrations with society are also self-inflicted. I think I struggle from those same things of my calendar not always showing what my heart desire most.
Mm, that's deep, man. Wow.
Sorry, I could give you like a...
No, that's good, man. And it's fun you say that about the scheduling and just community. It's like, I feel like we all have a heart for it and we all want it.
Yeah. But
when it's now the time when you're put to task to act upon it. So it's like, okay, let's go get together at this place.
Yeah.
No specific reason, but we're going to go get deeper. It's just like, oh, you know, I got to do this, I got to do that. And for any kind of organization, if it's church, if it's a group of guys, whatever the case may be, even if it's family, like it's needed for that time to kind of get together and just kind of whatever that the thing is, just to get together. So I'm there with you on that, especially for families. Like we are just way too busy as families.
Yeah,
it's true. It's true. So let's talk about eminent worship. Because I feel like if there's anything that you have some kind of dream around, it's eminent worship.
Yeah.
Let's talk a little bit about it.
Cool. Well, I'll try to give the Cliff Notes version. But this ministry started 8 years ago out of a group of friends. I wasn't even involved from the beginning, but just a group of friends that were musicians and worship leaders that realized kind of what we're talking about now. They all used their gifts in separate environments, and they really craved a time where they could come together and play and sing and do what they loved and do what they were good at together. And so this ministry was really birthed out of that and has become so much more since then, just in the context of bringing a city together and breaking down the walls, just something I've seen in my own experience through music. Like we talked about, we played a few songs in a living room and everybody kind of came out of their holes to come and be a part of it. But then when you look citywide or community-wide, worship and music really break divisive walls down. People that wouldn't normally hang out or do life together will in the context of music. And so for me, knowing that was a gift of mine and a passion of mine, how can I use that to shift the culture in the city that I'm currently planted in a sense that breaks down divisive walls and brings people together, but also lets musicians come together and play together and have fun and grow and get better together. And so the ministry over the 8 years has really not morphed, but adapted into what could that look like. And so even now I'm dreaming, we're coming up on a 10-year anniversary and I'm dreaming like, what does 20 look like? And what does 30 look like? And how do we use this specific craft and gifting to equip and train and disciple the next generation, because soon my time will come out. And so who are the guys that are behind me that are looking up to me or looking up to other musicians and worship leaders, kind of like I mentioned Michael W. and Stephen Curtis Chapman? They don't know who I am and they don't know that they've been an influence, but like, who are the nows and who are the up and comings that I can reach back and use the experiences I've gained in my life to help guide them into the next season of leadership. And so that's really the heart behind what we're doing. And it's growing and it's changing. And I'm so excited about it that I'll give the rest of my life to that cause.
Wow. Wow. So are you guys still getting together in different places on Tuesdays?
Yeah. So our next gathering is actually next Tuesday. We get together once a month, every month on the second Tuesday of the month. And we are at a different venue each time. And we have a different band each time. So it's kind of, it's funny, even 8 years in, people are like, where is it next month? Who's leading next month? And it's a challenge because it'd be so much easier to be at one place with one group of people that you could count on. But in a heart of unity and bringing a city together, it's been such a fun challenge to find new places and be like, man, what's a venue or a church we haven't been at yet? So yeah, that's what we're doing.
Oh, that's awesome, man. I'm digging that idea. It's really creative. I know it's probably challenging with moving around, but I think it's a good idea. Definitely yep. A good idea. Definitely a good idea. So who are the people that Ian surrounds himself with? Who is his support system? Who are those people that give you that energy, the superpowers?
Oh, man. I think for me, and that's been a learning journey, and I've had to learn. I'm somebody that just, I want to love all people. I know that's like kind of a cliche phrase, but I want to, when I'm in a room, I want to make sure that everyone's taken care of and everybody's needs are met. And so I'm that guy. And I've had to learn over time that there is a such thing as toxic people. There is a such thing as people that will drain you and exhaust you and wear you down. And while we can continue to love them, I've learned that they don't always need to be in my inner circle. And so,
facts.
Yeah. And so I'm really learning. And that's why I think I've been so drawn to even this Creative South community is the connection I've made is the relationship piece, not the drawing or artistic piece. And yes, I am a creative. And you even mentioned that a second ago, just in what we're doing as a ministry and developing relationships with new places. And that's creative. But I think just in learning that life is fragile and life is short, and if I'm going to grow and go to a next level, so to speak, I've got to surround myself with people that are positive. I've got to surround myself with people that are dreamers and creatives and that they want to go to the next level too. I think we've all kind of heard the phrase that show me your five closest friends and you're the average of that. And so I want to make sure that the people I'm surrounding myself with are challenging me to think outside the box, to go to the next level, to dream more, to spend more time with my family. That's one thing that, man, the Lord's just blessed me with people in my life that have encouraged, leave work early and go spend time with, like, cheat something else before you cheat your family. And so I'm so thankful that I've had those. I don't even think I've necessarily chosen for those people to be in my circle. They've just kind of thankfully been there. And the people that really, challenge me when life kind of seems dull sometimes to get back in the game and surround yourself with loving people and positive people and people that are going to push you to grow.
Nice, 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 nice. Even though you didn't tell me who the people are, but
no, it's a secret.
All right, I'll take that. yeah, got a secret group. All right. So when people hear your music, what are you trying to get them to experience?
And just the. Because of, I think, the nature of what I do. So I am a musician, but specifically involved in worship music and worship ministry. My heart is just to get people. I think my battery in my car just died. My heart is to get people to connect to Jesus through the music. So it's not about hype. It's not about getting them to jump or clap or engage with anything other than the creator. And I think that's such a cool piece, even with what Creative by Design is going for, that Sunday piece of like the creativity in all of us comes from the creator. And so if I can use my gift and my craft of music to point people back to the one that gave me those things, that's a win for me. That's a successful event or service or opportunity if the people in that environment have a greater perspective of who God is, then that's a win.
Are you good, dude?
Am I good?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. My car, dude, I have car trouble every week. I put a new alternator in last week, and my battery died today.
Man, bro, I'm there with you, man. I'm there with you. I'm going through it too, man. I'm going through it too. I'm feeling your pain. I had to lay some hands on my car the other day.
Yeah. I'm pouring oil on it. I'm doing everything. We got the flags out. I'm writing songs about my car. It's weird, but it's like, dude, I got to go there.
Oh, all right, let's get back into I knew this would happen, though. I did know this would happen.
That B-roll material.
Yeah. All right. So let's jump into recommendations, products. A product that you cannot live without that's not your phone.
Oh, man. So many of them. I think for me, my capo. Like I said, I've been doing this for a long time, but I think I'm a pretty mediocre musician, and so I've become really good at faking how much I know. And so you slap that capo on there, and everybody thinks you can play any chord in the book, and I can really play like six. So that's, right.
The dog is out.
Yeah, hopefully not a lot of people listen to this episode because I'm going down. Everything I do is just invalidated now.
Oh my gosh, nah, bro, you are amazing, man. all right, so book recommendations. Gosh.
I've got so.
All right, top three. If it got too much, top three.
No, I'll say top one right now. And I don't. This, it's a short, easy read. I think I read it in 2 days, but it was the book that I think really changed the trajectory of my life. And it's called Holy Discontent. And it was one of those books that I was in a season a few years ago of just restless nights and couldn't sleep at night. And I was frustrated in my job. I was a teacher for 8 years in an elementary school, and great faculty and great, all of those things were great, but I was wrestling with, there's gotta be more. And so somebody threw this book in my hand at just the right time. And I blew through it. And it really allows you to wrestle with, man, what is that thing that you are wired to do that you will never be satisfied until you tap into it? And so for me, it just, as soon as I read that book, I knew, man, I got one life to live. This is not a dress rehearsal. I got to make every day count and every choice point towards who I was wired to be and what I was wired to fulfill. And so I've read so many good books. I could probably do like a top 100 list, but that one immediately comes to mind when you say, give me a book to read, because I think all of us are wired with a unique purpose to fulfill within our time here on earth. And that book just really unearthed that for me.
Sounds good. I got to check that book out.
All right, it's an easy read. Lots of pictures, man.
You know, I love that.
It's a coloring book, actually.
So what's the first hour of Ian's day like?
Oh, my word. I'm just going to tell all of my secrets. This is going to ruin me as a person in my Man, this season of life has been rough. It's my I got into a routine of getting up before the kids got up, and really that's kind of the only time with kids you can find quiet time. And so I was doing really good with that until our two kids started going to two different schools that started at two different times, and it crept into my time. And I'm not all about that 4:30 a.m. life. but On my best days, my mornings start with caffeine of some sort, and just get my face in the Word, a journal beside me to just kind of write down what I'm learning and where I'm growing and what my, really just to kind of unpack. It doesn't, my journals aren't anything elaborate or professional by any means, but really a place for my thoughts to just kind of come out of my head onto paper so that I get a fresh slate that day. And I know my mornings aren't perfect to get there, but I know that if I can start my morning there, the rest of my day flows from that. And so really spending that first 30 minutes to an hour just in quiet, in peace of not answering emails or making somebody's lunch, but just figuring out, just kind of refocusing, bringing my yesterday into today's context and today's perspective, and kind of laying that platform to build on throughout the day. So in my perfect world, that's what my first hour looks like. I'll probably do it tomorrow now that you've challenged me again.
Love it. Hey man, what I tell people about the early morning stuff is like your life is like, it goes through seasons, man.
Yeah.
Like you'll have that time when you're on point, you get up yep. early, you go through your routine and boom, bam, bam. And then you'll be at that season where like, it's not happening. It's yep. not happening. No matter yep. what you try, it's not happening. Yep. No, so it's all about seasons and you just have to be able to adjust to that. So man, you're doing well, man. Don't, no worries. So what is next for Ian? What's next?
Man, what is next? I think, I left teaching in 2016 to pursue this. I've kind of always, my whole life, been involved in ministry, but it's always been on the side. Like whether I'm in school full time or I'm working full time, and then it's like my extra hours or my weekends are ministry. And so I think as I read that book, what really stirred in me was, man, I need to be doing this full time. And I know that's not everybody's calling and everybody's desire, but it's just so thick within me that when I'm not doing that, I'm restless. And so I left teaching in 2016 to pursue really ministry full time, but imminent full time. I had a great opportunity fall in my lap to work here in a local church context, doing youth ministry and worship ministry. And that's been great. I've learned so much. I think I'm on the journey. I mean, I am doing ministry full time, but I'm still not doing imminent worship full time. And so I think what's next for me is I've always known that. And so I don't know what the time frame is on that, but my heart, I see my path narrowing towards that. And I think once I get on that, that's the shoot for the rest of my life, is just pouring in, using my experience and what I know and my giftedness in music and in worship to equip the next generation, whoever that is. And so that's what's next. That's the books I'm reading and the meetings I'm having and what my calendar is beginning to look like is all trying to kind of funnel into that trajectory of how do today's choices get me there.
Well, man, that's all that's what it's about. Like sometimes we're so focused on destination, we forget how important the journey actually is. And yeah. everything you're doing is leading up towards that. Like there's so much people that still don't even know what the end goal is to even work right. towards it. So, right. man, I mean, as you know, you already know, any way I can help, I will help. Yeah. But because I believe in eminent worship and I believe that in what you're trying to do. So what advice would you have for a musician or anyone out there? What advice would you have for them?
Oh, man, just keep dreaming. Keep dreaming, keep learning, keep growing. I've seen too many, and this isn't even just music, but that is my context. I've seen too many gifted, talented people just quit, whether it's sports or drawing or playing an instrument, man. I've seen too many people let life get too busy and they release the one thing that makes them happy and the one thing that just kind of fuels them and brings joy to their life. They trade it for busyness. And I really just think, just in the Christian context, man, I think one of the enemy's sharpest, most successful tools is busyness. I think if he can get us busy, then he can get us off track of the things that not only bring joy to us, but bring glory to God. And so, man, if you're a musician, if you're an artist, if you're whatever you do, keep dreaming. Find time, whether you got to wake up in the morning or stay up late, and say, what do I love about this? How can I learn from somebody else? How can I get under somebody else's leadership? But also, how can I reach back and lead somebody else? And I think if you stay in that lane, your joy will continue, your joy will be contagious, and you will continue to grow in whatever it is you love to do.
Love it, man. That's some, I'm really digging that. I'm really digging that. I love that. Busyness. It can be such a
distraction, man.
Oh, man. So where can people go to find out about what you're doing and all that stuff?
Yeah, so our Imminent Worship website is actually being kind of rebuilt and rebranded at the moment. So when that's up and running, it's imminentworship.org. Probably our most active platforms right now are Instagram and Facebook. And that's where we're posting more kind of on the daily, what we're doing and pictures of what we're doing and what we're involved with. But yeah, even people that aren't local, I'd love for you to check it out and follow. And even in the years to come, I'd love to expand and bring what we're doing in Columbus to other cities, because it's so simple. It's not about our brand or our name or any of that, but it's just about bringing people together. And what I've seen and I've experienced is music does that. And so if I can help spark that fire somewhere else or in someone else, man, I'm all about it.
Dude, dropping knowledge, dropping yes. Knowledge. This was awesome, man. I really appreciate you doing this. Like, this has been fun, of course. I really appreciate this, man.
I appreciate you staying on me, dude. You've been trying to get me for like 4 months. And so I finally downloaded the appropriate equipment and software, and I'm excited.
Well, for sure, man. I knew you had something in you to share, and I wanted the listeners that I have to hear it.
Absolutely. I appreciate you, man, and all you're doing and connecting with people and highlighting what they do. So that's important.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode. I hope it's been super valuable to you and you're now ready to take your audience building, your community growing to the next level to help you and help me build our empire, for lack of a better word, or just to build our thing. Remember to stop by iTunes, Passion Behind the Art, and leave a review and subscribe. It's very important to me. It helps the podcast grow, and it makes me feel good to kind of hear from you guys, to know what you like about this podcast, what it's done for you. So jump on iTunes and subscribe and leave a review. Passion Behind the Art. Be blessed.